Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. I'm Monster B, and on the call is 330.
Hello.
Claw 2.
Hello.
And Peter without the 64.
G'day.
And today, 330 is going to tell us all about Giver.
Oh, boy.
What the heck is Giver? Is that like giving someone mono?
In a way, yes. Giver is it's an intra-LAN file sharing application that it basically makes stuff like NFS and Samba really, really, really retardedly easy. What it does is it opens up a window, and all of the other computers on your network that are running Giver show up in like a buddy list, and then you can just drag and drop files. Yeah, just like you can even take like a whole assortment of files that are like on a desktop or something, click and drag select them, and then drop them on to whichever user you want to give them. And on their computer, it'll pop up and say, hey, so-and-so is trying to share files with you. Do you want these? And you just say yes or no. If you say yes, the files start moving over. And once they're done, on both computers, it says that the files are sent. And if you say no, it sends a message back to the originating user going, they don't want it. And for someone like me that doesn't completely understand networking, but is always trying to do things that he has no idea what he's doing, this is great.
It sounds neat.
Yeah, it's completely written in mono and was done by a couple of guys at Novell during BrainShare.
So from what I'm hearing, this isn't going to replace like NFS and Samba. The other system has to say yes to receive these files. But
yeah.
It's not like I can just transfer files from one computer to the other. Is that correct?
Because you'd have to get up and walk over to the other one and say yes.
Yeah,
if you
right,
were
so.
To get between yourself. But, like, let's say somehow magically you had, like, a nice big network at home, and you're sharing files with the family and such, and somehow you magically work at one of these places that runs Linux, and if you could get all the people on that network to run it, all you have to do is pick up your laptop from home, take it to work, and then that list is populated with a whole different type of people.
So it is auto-detected. It's like done through Avahi or whatever, ZeroConf, whatever it is.
Yeah, it actually uses ZeroConf.
Okay.
And it just, what it does is it looks at, because you have to have the client on all the computers, so it just goes looking for the clients and hooks everybody up.
What about a Dropbox option? I mean, not the program, but the concept of a Dropbox, so that if I've got a coworker or a family member who's not in front of their computer, but I do want to send them some file, is there some like isolated folder that I could send it to them so that they could still get it when they get back, or what?
Not that I'm aware of.
And what about if they want to request a file? Like if they say, oh, I need that audio file from me. Can they like go into? I mean, is there any way for them to ping me through this, or okay.
It's really just like it would be like if you were talking, like it's really good for like collaboration. Like you're collaborating on a project, and one guy's all the way down the hallway. You don't want to, you're fat like me. You don't want to walk because you'll start sweating on the way. So, you're in an IRC channel or passing emails back and forth, and you want to send a big hunkin' set of files. You're like, hey, here's all the stuff that I did before lunch.
Right.
You just want to send it all over to him. You can go here, and it's just one click and drag, and they get it.
Cool.
So this is just a like for a local network. It's not for over the net. Okay. That's where I was confused. I was like, so you have to be on the exact same network to do this.
Yeah, and when Klaus said something about Dropbox, because when I started going, hey, I just found this thing, and it's wild in the IRC, people kept going, well, can't you use Dropbox for that? But to do it in Dropbox, you have to go all the way out to the web and then back into the network, where this is just like a straight shot across.
Yeah, that's the problem I've got with Dropbox. Like, if you're on limited bandwidth and limited download, quota for the month, you're going to waste a hell of a lot with that Dropbox, I reckon.
Yeah. Say, Peter, this would save your bandwidth.
Yeah, it would. I mean, I'm comfortable just mapping drives with NFS. The only downside I see with that is if I wanted to transfer, say I want to pull a movie off my MythBox for some reason and actually copy it over to my machine, not just stream it off the MythBox, I would have to go to the MythBox, then send it up to my desktop machine, and then I'd have to walk up to my desktop machine and say, yeah, okay, I want that. Is there any way you can configure that so it's automatic?
Not that I've seen, and there hasn't actually been a whole lot of development on it since BrainShare. Like, they got it going in a couple of hours. You know, just two guys sat down and started hacking at it.
Mm.
So, you know, they may do it someday, maybe, but probably not. Because I think they really wanted to keep this as simple as possible.
Yeah, I can certainly see the need, probably new users who aren't comfortable setting up Samba and NFS, certainly. But I'm just wondering, in a home environment, I don't know you need that security to say, yeah, I want to accept the file.
Yeah.
Because if I'm sending something to my wife and you know, what, she's not going to say, no, I don't want it. So you would think there would be something in there that's automatic. But I can see people wanting to use it, certainly.
Say, I've been cheating and using it to get files onto my server. Because, you know, FTP is either slow or I end up doing something and it crashes halfway through. So I can just drag and drop them over there and then move them around from the command line, you know, SS staged in from my desktop.
Yeah, well,
because I'm lame and I have X on my web server.
But then there's SCP, isn't it? If you want to copy files. I mean, yeah, okay. Once again, it's Linux offering
a million ways to do the same damn thing.
Of ways of doing something, yeah. And as we've talked about, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, so that's really all I can milk out of talking about Giver. It works, and it works reliably.
Oh, it is a pretty neat program. I'm going to put the link in the show notes, and there's also a little video that goes along with it. But the link is code.google.com/p/giver, and then you'll find the downloads and the video on that site.
Yeah, I'd certainly go and install it and have a look at it. I mean, I think that's half what us Linux blokes are about, mucking around with things, just trying them out.
You know. Yeah, check out that video. Kind of shows you a lot about it. How you can, you know, if you have like your music player going with a song playing, you can actually drag that song onto your Giver icon. Is that what you do, 330, when you drop something on it?
Yeah, it's like it looks kind of like if you had a Buddy and Pigeon, except for the area that you can drag it into is like a half inch to an inch tall. So you don't actually drag it to the wrong person.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I think people would be more comfortable, obviously, using this than, especially when they're new to Linux. Yeah, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. So I really see this being useful, like, at a business. Yeah, you know, the home thing, I kind of finagled it to be useful for me. But if you were at a business and you had people of varying knowledge, you know, you could go, all right, we're going to do this from the simplest place possible and then just push it through to everyone.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. That's what it's ideally suited for.
Now, are you still running Crunchy on your Triple E?
Yeah, I am, actually.
So how's that going? Still pretty good?
Yeah, I'm still loving the crap out of it. I still haven't sorted out my audio issue, but I haven't tried either.
What's it doing? It's just not working?
Yeah, it's just a different interface. Yeah, because I'm used to the GNOME volume manager applet thing. And I'm trying to use the XFCE 4 mixer. And it's similar, but not quite the same. So, I still have to play with it.
And you blokes talked about Terminator in your latest HBR, the earlier one. And yeah. I tell you, the more I've used that, the more impressed I've become with it. I don't know, for one thing it just looks tidier. But certainly if you spell and type like me, I find it a hell of a lot easier to copy and paste stuff from the terminals. Whereas I used to run console a lot and, you know, have them, like the tabs. And I might have bloody six tabs open, and then I'd have to tab all the way through them to get back to the one I wanted to copy and paste stuff into. Whereas this, you know, you just control tab, they're all there open, you can use the mouse, cut and paste it into the other terminal, do stuff like that. I went to the trouble to install it on the Arch machine, but there was no trouble with installing it on there because it was in Pac-Man repos anyway. But that was a really good find, I reckon, you've come up with there.
Oh, it's beautiful. And plus, you were talking about the tabs. You can also have tabs on this, too. You can have, like a tab with six slices in each one, if you wanted, or even more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, well, I suppose with Flashbox, you can really tab anything.
I would say that it's just a Terminator default where you can add tabs.
Yeah, but I just like to have the terminal, one terminal, all there, split, you know, like I think 330, you said 9 or whatever, yeah, certainly 9's easy on a big monitor, you have bloody 20 and still be able to read them, and just have them on a separate workspace. But yeah, no, it's a really good application. Like I said, the more I've used it, the more impressed I've become with it.
Yeah, you can just right-click and open up, and it's right underneath where it says split. You know, your windows, there's an open tab button.
Okay. Oh, yeah, down there, I haven't even looked at that. I'm just too busy splitting them there.
Hey, I didn't find it until Monster Beast said something about it. Yeah, you get it installed and you start playing with it, and you're like, oh, wow, I can split this up a million times, and you stop there. Yeah, it takes a while to get over that.
There's a control shift arrow keys to move through your tabs, like, console, do we know?
Oh, for the tabs? I never tried that. Remember we talked about the slices before? Because you found it, the control tab?
Yeah,
I'm not sure about
like
tabs.
Fine with Terminator as all the hotkeys. They must be listed somewhere.
I never even thought to do this, but have you guys looked in the man page to see if the hotkeys are in there?
No. I've never read one of them.
Yep, I see it. Okay, yeah, I used it, because when I start up my Triple E PC, I have Terminator start up automatically, and I used minus M option to go full screen.
Yeah, they're all the key bindings are in there.
Oh, wow, you can actually resize the actual windows with key bindings.
Yeah, Control-Shift-0, that's going to split your window horizontally, E to vertically.
That's crazy.
I'm going to have to make a cheat sheet and print it out. With all these commands between Fluxbox, shortcuts between Fluxbox and this, I can't remember them all.
I do most things in Terminator now, just because, it's already open. I can just split it up and do something else in it. And because the default copy and paste, it's just control and then shift and whatever. I keep trying to control shift and copy and paste in other applications. And it's bugging the crap out of me because I hit it three or four before I realize it's not going to do anything.
Okay, you're still using it on top of Xterm, right? Or are you using the GNOME terminal?
I think it's the GNOME terminal settings.
Control shift Z, if you're in a terminal, say you've got like 9 terminals opening, if you hit control shift Z, that focuses on that one and scales it up to whatever size you've got the other 9 open, that's pretty cool too. Yeah, the more you find out about this Terminator, the more impressive it gets. Control shift page up, go through your tabs.
And then they put the easiest one at the bottom. Toggle full screen is F11. You go through all those, like, hand-breaking combinations to get to F11.
Oh, sorry. Control-Shift page up and down actually doesn't page through your tabs. It's swapping them. to become either your first tab or your last tab or whatever it's doing. Unbelievable.
Now, this is one of the nicer man pages I've ever seen. It's very straightforward and very well written.
If I go off, you'll know that we got hit by lightning again. We got a big thunderstorm coming, I can hear it.
So should we move on to what we're running on our triple E's?
Sure.
We're being prompted by people in the chat from where we're recording this live.
People listen.
Yeah. It's amazing. You start up a call and people start listening. It's kind of crazy.
No, Peter, you're using the default Xandros, right, on your Triple E?
Yeah, well, it's not mine. It's my daughter's. And, like I said, it's what she wants. She can navigate around so easy. It's really good. It's not geeky, certainly. If I've actually ordered a few cards because you can install another operating system on a card and leave the Xandros operating system on there, can't you? So
yeah.
I'm going to have a play around with a few. But I just wouldn't change it for her because just watching her use it, she knows exactly what she's doing. God, she even got in the chat the other day and wants to be and had a chat with you, didn't she? Now she wants to do it all the time.
Well, you guys got her the 7-inch model, right?
Yeah, just the 7. So. And I must admit, if I was to buy one, I would go for a bigger one. I just get a little bit frustrated with the keys. Like, I've got big hands, pretty fat fingers, and the keyboard's just a little bit too small for me to be comfortable with.
But for her, it's pretty good, though.
It's the ideal. I mean, in comparison, like ratio-wise, I would imagine that the keyboard for her fingers is typically what, as an adult's hand compared to a full-size keyboard. Yeah, it's really good for her, I'd imagine. Not that she's a touch typer.
Come on, Shibi, what do you have running on yours?
Do you want to hear it all?
Yeah, go ahead.
We could be here for an hour.
It doesn't matter.
Now, when I first boot mine up, it boots into a KDM login.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I go right into Fluxbox. And the reason I'm sticking with the KDM, because I get the nice KDE mouse cursor inside the Fluxbox. It looks pretty good. Now, on the toolbar, I have automatically starts up with system. It's K-Mixer, K-Network Manager, K Power Save, and Clipper. It's a clipboard tool. I don't know if you guys use that one. I'm going to have to file a bug report on this because I noticed it on my desktop too. They automatically inserted entries in there. One of them's iPod, and the other one's Google.
Hmm.
But I wonder if they're being paid or something to put that in there. Because, when you clear it, it comes back later when you log back in. But anyways, for my editors, I use Nano and K-Write. For my terminal emulators, I use Terminator, of course. IRC, I use Conversation. And for the file manager, I use Dolphin. And for videos and music, I use VLC. And I use KPDF for ebooks. So that's about it. Oh, and for web browsing, I use IceWeasel.
And that's all on top of Debian Lenny, right?
Yeah, Debian Lenny. Yeah, I use it just like a big computer. There's really no restriction, on these things.
Yeah, so I think I've gone the exact opposite of you, because I've got Crunchy on there, which it's still Debian-based, but it's OpenBox. And for the clipboard, I use it. And this is a default. I don't actually care that much about clipboards to have gone looking for one, but it's called ParseLite or Parselite or something. I really just couldn't care less. As long as I can copy and paste, I don't care. But as a terminal emulator, I use Terminator. Their Xterm is on here, but I've never even opened it. I haven't had a need. I use Firefox for web browsing, Thunar for file management. As a text editor, I either use Nano or gedit. For IRC, I use Irisi inside of Terminator. For instant messaging, I use Finch inside of Terminator. I've got some, just the lighter weight office stuff in there, like Abby Word and GNU Merrick. For sound and video, Rhythmbox is installed, but I don't ever use it. I end up using MPlayer. And that's, say, I'm kind of like you. I use it just like I would a desktop. It's just, you know, a desktop that I can pick up and go to the couch or, you know, off to do other things with. But yeah, I pretty much went the exact opposite way you did and went GTK with all my apps instead of Qt.
The reason I did that, just to try out KDE 4.
Yeah.
And I kind of just stuck with the apps, because on my desktop I use all GTK apps.
And the one thing I did leave out is Mixer, and I'm not going to talk about that because I don't have it all sorted out yet. I think I've got 3 different mixers installed. I'm trying to sort out input issues.
Yeah, I'm using the K-Mix now, like I said, but I think I like the GNOME one better. Because I notice on K-Mix, sometimes when I unplug my USB headset, K-Mix will crash on me.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, and I have to restart it. I don't know if that's that might be a Fluxbox thing, too. I don't know.
Just it not handling USB well.
But I need to get some more games on this thing. So far, the only games I have is 2 chess games, eBoard and Dream Chess. But I need to get some arcade games on here.
Say, I had Urban Terror running on mine when I had Ubuntu on it.
It ran pretty good?
Well, it was just enough hardware to run it on the lowest settings. But yeah, I've got a little external, like, USB mouse that you plug the little... It's wireless, so you plug the little thing inside. But yeah, man, I could have just sat down anywhere, whipped it out, and started shooting people in the head. I was pretty pumped about that. And since Klaatu isn't back, we can't ask him what he's running. He's always got something odd on his.
He's probably got that bloody Fedora on there.
Well, when we were at OLF, he had just installed Debian on it, because it had just come out with all the stuff he needed for the E. And he had Fluxbox on it, but that was only because, like, the 2 or 3 weeks before that, he didn't have a desktop environment on it at all. He was just running a straight command line. And so he figured he might want to have something on there, so while he was in his hotel room, he installed Fluxbox.
Ideally, I reckon Fluxbox is made for those little machines. Or OpenBox, or any of those boxes. I haven't played with OpenBox yet. But can that crunch bean go on them?
Yeah, there's a specialized version.
Yeah, that's right. I don't remember you saying
that. It's got the EPC lean kernel on it, and it's just like having regular Crunch Bang, just on a smaller screen.
Yeah, well, I think when I get one of these cards, I might have a look at that Crunchy just to see how it goes. And another thing that my daughter's using the EEPC for is... we mount the drive off the Mythbox, so she can just go up to her bedroom and play all the like Dora the Explorer and all that sort of stuff I've taped for her now, nice and easy, and it streams really well. It plays all those sort of things, you know, really good. And the 7-inch screen is pretty good for just laying in bed and putting it on a windowsill and just laying there and watching it.
That's not bad. About the only thing and I don't know if, because I've got the 900 megahertz Celeron. But you really can't push high-def video too much.
Nah, but that would also be a limitation of Wi-Fi. Like, yeah, I obviously wouldn't try to stream high-definition shows that we've recorded.
Well, no, I had both the 1080p and the 480p of Big Buck Bunny on there.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to see if it would play it. And I was getting about 2 frames a second watching the 1080p. The 480 played fine, but that's standard def.
Yeah. But obviously, if you're going to do something there, you're going to use memming encoder or something and re-encode it to whatever size your video display is. Because there's no point trying to stream like high def movies over to a screen that's only, I don't even know what the resolution of these things are. But it's a bit of a pointless exercise, isn't it?
Yeah. See, I know the 9-inch is 1024 by 600.
Yeah. Yeah, not. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good little screen, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
No, I really didn't look too close at the. I've seen the 8.9 inch at Ohio Linux Fest, but I've never seen a 7 inch. Now, that all that black on both sides of the screen, is there anything there?
Yeah, the speakers.
Okay.
At the top, you've got the camera. On the sides, you've got the speakers. But, yeah, ideally, they could have made the screen take up just about all that. Put the speakers down next to the touchpad on either side. You've got a bit of real estate there. And the camera's that sort of pinhole thing, so you could fit it in that bezel anyway. Yeah, but like I said, it's not the screen. Even I think I've complained a few times about needing glasses, but it's not the size of the screen that I find a problem. It was the size of the keyboard. It's just too small for my fat, unnimble fingers.
You know, when you said that about the speakers, that's exactly what they did for the 8.9-inch.
Yeah, they moved them underneath the laptop, which is really annoying because it's really quiet because it's shooting all the sound down at whatever it's sitting on, and then it shoots out. But I tend to have headphones plugged into mine anyway.
Well, that's what I was going to say. My daughter usually has the old headphones plugged in anyway.
Lucky you. I mean, I don't think you want to sit around and listen to a 12-hour marathon of Dora the Explorer.
On the map, on the map. Yeah.
Well, guys, we're running out of time because the Linux Cranks is going to start in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no worries. See you in a few minutes.
Yeah, a few minutes, and everyone that's listening to the pre-recorded episode, we do this live every Saturday night about 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. So, thanks for listening, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.